Amen. Okay, so obviously kids are in today, so it's slightly different, which is normally when we go upstairs, we start off with a drink and a biscuit because they're normally famished at this time. Obviously, all the kids, if you're able to come a bit closer, we are going to play the Jesus Storybook Bible. We've been going through the Storybook Bible. We started right at the beginning with the creation of the world, and we've been working all the way through. And we're now smack bang in the middle of kind of Jesus' ministry. So we are going to be looking at the amazing story of Zacchaeus. Right, children, do you want to grab a seat near the front so that you can see? You can sit on the floor if you would like, because it's going to be shown on these screens here. Do you want to have a sit down? Yeah, and after we've watched the video, we're going to be doing some craft over here. Obviously, adults, if you fancy a bit of craft, you know, we've got two different kinds. You're very welcome to join in. So, we're going to watch our story.
The man who didn't have any friends. None. There was once a man who didn't have any friends. None. Do you have any friends? Well, of course you do. But not Zacchaeus. Poor Zacchaeus didn't have any. You're probably wondering why. Was it because he was so short? Well, that's not a reason not to like someone. Was it because he had a name that was hard to say? Well, neither is that. Even though he was short and he did have a funny name, that wasn't it. No, people didn't like Zacchaeus because he stole their money. Zacchaeus collected taxes. Taxes were what people had to pay the king. But Zacchaeus took more than he was supposed to and kept the extra money for himself and made himself rich. Everyone knew what he was up to, and it made them cross and grumpy. They didn't like Zacchaeus one bit. So they made sure he knew it by doing things like avoiding him and walking on the opposite side of the street and pretending not to see him and whispering things like, "Oh, there's a nobody who thinks he's a somebody," loud enough so he could hear. Anyway, one day, a huge crowd gathered by the road. Jesus was coming to their town and everyone wanted to see him. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus too, but everyone was too tall. He tried jumping up and down, but that didn't work. He couldn't see a thing. Luckily, Zacchaeus had a good idea. "I'll climb that sycamore tree," he said. So he did. He was surprisingly good at climbing trees for a man who was so unusually short that he had to take a flying leap just to get into his chair in the morning. From the tree, Zacchaeus had the perfect view, all the way down the road. Another minute, and suddenly, Jesus was at the tree. He stopped and looked up. Zacchaeus saw Jesus, and Jesus saw Zacchaeus. "Zacchaeus," Jesus said, "I'd like to come over to your house." Zacchaeus almost fell out of the tree. Come over to his house? Well, no one ever wanted to come anywhere near his house, let alone inside it. The people saw this, and, well, needless to say, it made them even crosser and grumpier than usual. They mumbled and murmured and muttered, "Why is Jesus being kind to that big sinner? Doesn't Jesus know about him?" Zacchaeus scrambled down and took Jesus to his house. He was in a big hurry because he didn't want Jesus to change his mind. Perhaps Jesus hadn't heard about him. Perhaps Jesus didn't know about how he had been stealing and how no one liked him and how he didn't have any friends. But Jesus knew. He knew all about Zacchaeus and the stealing and everything, and he still loved him. Zacchaeus was ashamed. "Lord," he said, turning pale, "what I've done is wrong, but now I want to do the right thing. I will give the money back to everyone, 4 times what I stole." And that's just what he did. Jesus smiled. "My friend," he said, "today God has rescued you." Jesus loved Zacchaeus when nobody else did. He was Zacchaeus' friend, even when no one else was, because Jesus was showing people what God's love was like, his wonderful, never-stopping, never-giving-up, unbreaking, always and forever love.
Storybook Bible. Okay, so children, Shirley is going to come and help you with the craft. Okay, I've got it all set up over there. Do you want to make your way over there? So what you're going to be doing is you're going to be making and doing while I'm talking, so you can kind of do some listening and some making. Okay, do you want to hop up and gather around the tables? Shirley, grab a chair. Okay, awesome. So we've been working through the storybook Bible, and we were at the point where obviously we had Zacchaeus' story, and the life and this amazing thing that happened to Zacchaeus just gives us three clear points to the truth about God. And actually, if it's a truth about God, it's a promise. And actually the three points, the three truths are, is that God sees you wherever you are. He loves you and is full of compassion. He feels your joy, he feels your pain, regardless of if the pain is of your own making. Where there is Jesus, there is hope for the future. Those are the three truths that we can hold on to and our promises that we can all take hold of. So, God sees us wherever we are. It doesn't matter whether we're up a tree like Zacchaeus, on a mountainous high, or in the depths of despair. God sees you. God sees me. Whatever situation we're in, God sees us. Throughout the Bible, it's noted how God truly sees individuals, such as the story of Hagar. She was an Egyptian slave of Sarai, and she wasn't even part of God's plan. But God saw her. God truly saw her pain and suffering. So if you've got your Bible, if you hop to Genesis 16, and we're going to read verses 7 to 13. So just to give you some context, Hagar, she was Sarai's slave. Obviously, Abraham had been given this promise by God. He'd taken it into his own hands and tried to make the promise of God come true. Obviously, like whatever happens when we try and do it and not God, it goes a bit wrong. So there's been this massive kind of falling out. Hagar ends up running away after being poorly treated by Sarai. So she's in the middle of the desert. She's been there for a while. It's not okay, you know. It's pretty touch and go. She's obviously thirsty. She's hungry. She doesn't know where she's going to go. So the angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness along the road to Shur. The angel said to her, "Hagar, Sarai's servant, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress Sarai," she replied. The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her authority." Then he added, "I will give you more descendants than you can count." And the angel also said, "You are now pregnant and will give birth to a son. You are to name him Ishmael, which means God hears. For the Lord has heard your cry of distress." Thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, "You are the God who sees me." She gave the name to God, El Roy, the God who sees. God saw her pain and distress. It wasn't of her own making, you know. It happened to her, and she had no hope. She could not see how it could change. And it didn't matter that she wasn't part of God's kind of master plan for Abraham and Sarah and Isaac. He still saw her and had compassion for her. God saw Hagar. God saw Zacchaeus. We can be sure that he sees me and my situation, and he sees yours. and he sees our value even if others don't. God is full of love and compassion. Just like he showed love and compassion for Hagar, how he showed love and compassion to Zacchaeus. We can see it throughout the Bible. We can see it in the stories of Nineveh, where God decided not to destroy it. Obviously, we see it in Naaman. Even though he was not obviously part of God's people, he healed him. We see it in Rahab. We see it in Ruth and so much more. Compassion is not just in Jesus and the story of Jesus. It is intrinsically part of God's nature, and we can see it throughout the whole of the Bible. So it doesn't matter where you come from, all the situation you're in, and that's even if the situation's of your own making, like Zacchaeus. This is God's grace. Thank goodness for God's grace. Humans get it wrong. We get it wrong. We've all experienced shame and regret for our actions, whether that was temporary or long term. We know, we all know, that we can regret and wish that we hadn't done something or things hadn't turned out the way it has. But we know that that wishing and that regret doesn't always change things. I wonder how many times Zacchaeus regretted his choices. When the loneliness and the isolation overwhelmed him. Being without any friends, it's painful. We're not designed to be alone. I can imagine him flip-flopping between sorrow and anger. And that anger means that he then digs himself, you know, further into that hole. You know, he cuts his nose off despite his face. You know, taking more money, you know, just to kind of make people hate him more because he finds it so painful. But Jesus showed him love and compassion. And Jesus loves you and is full of compassion, even if others aren't. I want to encourage you, if you cannot see how much God loves you, to ask him to reveal his love for you. You'll be so surprised. It's not this kind of generic, kind of Clinton's card, off the shelf kind of love. It's this personal, like mind-blowing love. You know, we hear in the Bible about him saying about, oh, he knows the, you know, hairs on your head and all that lot. But actually, you know, to see it, to feel it in real life is just amazing. So I, you know, have had some tricky times, and I know we all go through tricky times. You know, I want to kind of just bring your attention to some kind of acts of love, which just shows like how God truly does know us. You know, he sees us like as individuals. Evan, my nephew, he had cancer. As a church, obviously, we were praying for him and Jess and Ashley. And bless them, you know, Jess told me about this situation where she came home from the hospital having had no sleep. Evan's central line had leaked. She was covered in blood. I think there was some other bodily fluids as well. She was just exhausted, absolutely exhausted when she got in, you know, Ashley had gone out the door, you know, they did a handover. So she came home and all she wanted was some Dr. Pepper and some Kinder bars and some sleep. Now, there was none of those in the house. You know, so she did just go to sleep, you know, hungry and exhausted. When she woke up, a friend turned up at her doorstep and there was Dr. Pepper and Kinder bars. You know, this is a God that really knows us and delights with giving us those special things. For me, before I moved here, I, you know, had such a long time of where things were really tough with Emily. She wasn't sleeping. She was up really, really late, having to try and balance all the stress of everything that was going on. And I ended up getting a dishwasher. It was something that I dreamed that I might have just to ease the load, that I could actually, you know, go to bed before midnight and actually, you know, do other mum jobs instead of doing the 40 minutes of washing up every day, you know, and God provided that. It was amazing. It was this £300 dishwasher suddenly for 20 quid, you know, and it was just that love. I felt that love of God, that he saw the situation I was in. And actually, he loved me by getting me a dishwasher. At the moment, he's got me a house, which is, and not even a shack with a roof, which I initially had prayed for. He's gone one better. It's not leaky. It's got all the walls. God sees us. He sees us where we are, and he loves us and is full of compassion. His love is demonstrated in a unique way towards us. I encourage you, if you cannot see it, pray that God will reveal his love for you, especially if you're going through hard times, especially if you are finding life difficult. Finally, where Jesus is, there is hope for the future. We know he brings transformation of people and situations. He restores body, mind, and soul. Jesus healed, he raised the dead, he cast out demons, changed the way people view women and children. And Jesus is alive, and the Holy Spirit is at work to bring that hope of Jesus. Jesus is alive and well. Jesus gave Zacchaeus hope and the opportunity to be different. He changed an unchangeable situation. He made and he makes a way when there is no way. We just need to take it. We have no concrete proof that Zacchaeus continued on his new path. However, human nature makes me feel if he didn't, we'd have heard about it. It would have definitely been rubbed in our face. Which gives me hope that he did take hold of the opportunity and never let it go. And I pray that we can do the same. So, the three truths that we can hold on to, the promises, is God sees us wherever we are. He loves us and is full of compassion. He feels our joy and our pain, regardless of if that pain is of our own making. And where there is Jesus, there is hope for the future. Okay, amen.